Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21, if you will, follow along as I read. The Word of God says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, and be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Father, you know it is my desire to preach in such a way that honors you, to preach not in my own strength, but in the strength of your Holy Spirit. And I confess that I cannot do it without you. So come, let your hand be upon me this hour, and speak to every heart. For Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've titled the message this morning, The Marks of Great Faith. And the title surfaces out of Jesus' words to this troubled Gentile woman in verse 28 when he says to her, O woman, great is thy faith. For this woman to be commended by the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, in such a way should persuade us to examine the steps that led to this praise from the lips of the Savior. Believers should be people who desire to have great faith in the Lord. For we read throughout Scripture that personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ pleases Him. And personal unbelief towards God displeases Him. I have yet to meet a believer who would state that they wish they had little faith for God. There may be Christians who have little faith in God, but if you were to press them and if you were to ask them, do you desire to have great faith or little faith? Most are going to tell you that they desire to have great faith, because Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. In this passage before us, we read of a non-Jewish woman who approaches the Lord Jesus with an earnest and desperate request. She desires that her daughter, who is possessed by a demon, might be healed. We are not told what led to her daughter being possessed. We are not told how long she has been possessed, how old her daughter is, or if there has been any physical harm done to the daughter by this demon. All we are told is that the daughter is held captive by the powers of darkness, and her mother desires for her to be released from it. We read at the end of this account that Jesus answered this mother's request, graciously healing her daughter and commending the faith that she had in Jesus Christ. While this woman was not seeking to be commended by the Lord Jesus Christ or to be known in the eyes of men, the Holy Spirit has recorded this passage in Scripture to teach us what great faith consists of. So this morning, it is my desire to take you verse by verse through this account, highlighting the marks of great faith. We see first that great faith cries unto God. Great faith cries unto God. Verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him. And what did she cry, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." This woman does not remain careless or prayerless. She does not look to men or depend upon herself to relieve the problem with her daughter. Instead, we find her crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps there was a time before her coming to Christ here where she was not as concerned for her daughter. We do not know. The scripture does not tell us. Perhaps days before, she was not urgent as she is now about her daughter's affliction. Perhaps she brushed off the seriousness of her daughter's condition, perhaps thinking it was just ADD in her child. The Bible does not provide us with the extent of the matter. It does not say that the demon tried to kill her by throwing her in fire or by throwing her in water like the son in Mark chapter 9. The Bible does not tell us that the demon caused this daughter to burst out into convulsions. It could be that the mother tried to take care of her things, of these circumstances on her own. It could be that the neighbors of this mother tried to influence her to give her daughter medications and medicines that would heal. It could be that she brought in physicians or religious leaders from the community to perform an exorcism, but all to no avail. We do not know what she did prior to this time, but we do know that she has become so desperate and so disheartened by her circumstances that she is now coming to Christ, crying out to him to heal her daughter. Her crying out to Christ reveals that she believed in her heart that Christ had the ability to intercede for her. Which brings us to note that faith is only as good as its object. Great faith cries unto God. Great faith doesn't just cry. Great faith doesn't cry unto men for help. No, great faith cries unto God. And that's what we find here in this woman's account. The object of this woman's faith was the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven and earth, the Creator, the Sustainer of all things. And her words, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou Son of David," reveals that she was convinced in her mind that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah who was given all power in heaven and in earth. And this is the first mark of great faith. Great faith cries out unto God. It is impossible for one to have great faith in God if they do not cry out to God. And while this may seem elementary, this is something that we need to understand. Let me ask you this morning, does your soul cry out to God? Do you run to Christ when troubling circumstances of life cause you to be distressed at heart? Can you go a week without communing with God in prayer? How you answer this question will determine not if you have great faith in God, but perhaps whether you have any faith in God at all. We find great faith in the scriptures multiple places. We find great faith in the words of the publican who cried out to God, not lifting up his eyes towards heaven, but in a humble spirit saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He is crying out to the Lord for salvation. We find great faith in the centurion in Matthew chapter 8 who cried out to God, the Christ, for his servant to be healed of the palsy. Great faith cries unto God. And then we see our second point this morning. Great faith perseveres through silence and scorn. Notice, as this woman cries unto the Lord, notice the response of the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. In verse 23, "But he," Jesus, "answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" Great faith perseveres through silence. And reading these words should cause an element of surprise. When you read these words, aren't you struck by the response of the Lord Jesus Christ? Surely Christ heard her. She was crying out to him from the depths of her soul. We read of others in the scriptures who came to Christ crying out for mercy, and Christ heard them and immediately healed them. Why does Christ remain silent here? Why does he seemingly seek to turn his back on this woman's request and ignore her? Well, the answer is Christ remains silent to test the sincerity of her faith. He says nothing to test her faith, desiring to see how desperately she wanted an answer. And we must remember that the silence of God is not refusal from God. There will be times in our life in which we approach the Lord in prayer, and it will seem that we are merely praying to the ceiling. It will seem that he does not hear us, or it seems that he is ignoring our requests. And while such times may cause us to become anxious and perhaps frustrated towards the Lord, we must learn to persevere in faith, knowing that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. The prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 30, verse 18, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you." Sometimes it is God's will to enroll us in the school of waiting. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And it's not easy to wait. But these lessons that we learn in the school of waiting are needful for our growth in faith. See from our text that the Canaanite woman not only persevered through silence, she persevered through scorn. And great faith perseveres through scorn. His disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away." Now, whether the disciples were desiring this woman to leave quickly with the request that she came with, or to leave empty-handed, we do not know. But what we do know is that Christ's disciples wanted this woman gone. She was a bother to them. Her continual crying out to Christ was getting to their nerves, and there seemed to be no way of getting rid of her until her daughter was healed, until she received what she wanted. And here we have another cause in this woman's life for discouragement. And yet she presses through it. She comes to Christ with this heartache, with this burden. And she receives silence. She's crying out for mercy, and the disciples want her gone. But she does not allow the opinions or words of men to dampen her faith. She perseveres. Like Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah who desired a son, Hannah who poured out her soul unto God for a son, Hannah who went to the temple crying out to God day and night, Hannah who was accused by the high priest for being a drunk, continued, persevered in crying out to God, and what happened? God gave her the desire of her heart. Here this woman persevered like the two blind men in Matthew chapter 9 who cried out to Christ until they were healed. And many others saying, "Silence, silence. And yet they cried out, Lord, that we might see, God, that I might have sight. How great was this woman's faith to persevere through so many circumstances that would have sent the weak-hearted home and discouraged. Are there some among us this morning seeking to honor their Lord by their faith? And yet you are being mocked in your home. You are being mocked in the workplace. You are being mocked in the community and turned away by others because of your faith in God. Perhaps you are like this Gentile woman and you go to God desiring that He would pour out His blessings. You go to the Word of God and you are convinced that you are to take what you read in the Scriptures and apply it to your life, and you want to exercise faith in God, but it seems that you are surrounded by men who scorn you and doubt your faith in God. Learn from this woman to persevere, to continue crying out to God day and night, understanding it is through prayer that we receive answers. Lord, there are some praying passionately for God to perform miraculous deeds in your life and in the life of others. Yet others, perhaps even believers, respond with great doubt and dampen your faith in God. Let us learn to persevere through the scorn. We must not allow the faithlessness and the harsh words of others turn away our eyes from Christ. In this Christian race, we must keep our eyes focused and fixed, not looking at the stands, not looking at the other runners, but keeping our eyes focused and fixed upon the author and finisher of our faith, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get our heart's attention off of Christ, what happens? We become like Peter, walking on water. We become troubled by the circumstances around us, and then we begin to sink spiritually. But even when we sink spiritually, we can still cry out, Lord, save me. And when we cry out to God, He hears us and saves us. Great faith cries unto God. Great faith perseveres through silence and scorn. And notice also, great faith is clothed with humble confidence. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She does not turn away. She does not look with an angry face. She comes and worships him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This is an amazing portion of Scripture. Crying out for mercy, this woman meets with the silence of Christ and the disregard of the disciples. Persevering in faith, she cries out, Lord, help me. And again, we see another shocking feature in this account. The Lord Jesus Christ replies by telling her that the bread of the gospel, the bread of Christ's mercies, are reserved for the children, he's referring to the Jews, and not for the dogs, referring to the Gentiles. We need to understand the context. The Gentiles were looked upon by the Jews as a lesser breed of people. They were looked upon in great contempt. They were looked upon and even called dogs. And in other words, Christ is saying to this woman, how can you expect to eat the children's bread, the bread that is reserved for the Jews, when you are not a child? How can you expect the blessings which are meant for the Jews when you are a Gentile? And of all the occasions to become troubled by the ways and words of Christ, surely this would be the one to sink her into silence and despondency. How would you respond? Is this how you do evangelism? Imagine if we did. Our way of evangelism is much different than the way Christ evangelized. We see here her response, and how does she respond? She responds with a humble confidence. Great faith is clothed with humility. Now, a proud heart would have become angry at Christ. A proud heart would have said, "Is this the Christ I have heard so much about? Is this the Prince of Peace? Is this the one who is lowly and meek and full of compassion? Is this how God deals with men? I've never been so slighted in my life. I'm not a dog, I'm a woman, and hear me roar." Well, that's the 2017 version. I mean, hold up a sign and picket Christ and his disciples so that you know who I am. She does not respond in pride, she responds in humility. And her humility is seen in her response. Notice it here. In essence, she is saying, "Yes, Lord, I am a dog. I deserve nothing. I have no right to the children's bread. All I ask for are some crumbs. I am a pagan. I am unworthy of everything. Yet let a little bit of your almighty power be demonstrated by healing my daughter just a little bit." And this woman is clothed with deep humility. And she is aware of her great unworthiness and her utter helplessness. And what does the Bible tell us about pride and humility? God resists the proud and gives grace unto the humble. So we are to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord that He may lift us up. And Matthew Henry says, "Those who are conscious to themselves that they deserve nothing will be thankful for anything. And then when we are prepared for the greatest of God's mercies, when we see ourselves less than the least of them." Great faith is clothed with humility, but also great faith is clothed with confidence. This woman clung to Christ through all the testing, through all the gloomy circumstances, believing all the while that Christ was able to heal. Christ was able to speak one word and put his power on display in the life of her daughter. Matthew Henry again says, "The greatness of faith consists much in a resolute adherence to Jesus Christ as an all-sufficient Savior, even in the face of discouragements, to love Him and trust Him as friend, even when He seems to come forth against us as an enemy. This is great faith." To such a humble faith, what does Christ declare? "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And what happened? Her daughter was healed. I suppose this statement must have rung in the ears of the disciples for some time. I imagine them walking away from this situation, scratching their heads, wondering what just happened. Wondering what was in the heart of this woman to persevere so much so. I mean, the rich young ruler comes to Christ and boasts of his wonderful accomplishment. Jesus says, "Well, sell everything you have and you shall have eternal life." And he leaves away sad. What was in this woman? What did we miss? What are we missing? The declaration of Christ here, "Great is thy faith," must have been a great testimony to others around watching and listening. To be counted as one who has great faith by the Lord Jesus Christ himself must be among the highest of honors anyone could receive here on earth. Now, we know theologically the highest honor one can receive on earth is to be called the child of God. but to be commended as a child of God for our faith by God is a great privilege. It would do us well to remember the marks of her great faith so that we might implement them in our life. Great faith cries unto God. Great faith perseveres through silence and scorn. Great faith is clothed with a humble confidence. Let me ask you this morning, what is before you today? What have you been crying out to the Lord for? Is it the salvation of another? Is it victory over a particular sin? Have you been seeking God for a greater understanding of His Word? Oh, allow this testimony, the testimony of this Canaanite woman, to strengthen your faith. Yea, and I would say, allow the power of Christ to this woman strengthen your faith. There is nothing too hard for God. With God, all things are possible. Do you grow weary in prayer? God hears you. Persevere in faith with a humble confidence, and you will soon receive that which you are asking for. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Ask, seek, and knock. The door shall be opened unto you. What does the great hymn say about prayer and believing God? Discouragements, it says, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. These are not just words that we sing. These are truths that we ought to live. As we conclude, I would like to provide you with two more applications that I see here. Two applications to consider from this account that I believe will be a great help and strength and encouragement to your soul. Number one, consider Christ's compassion for this woman. Do you see it there? Christ's compassion. Notice the first verse. Then Jesus went thence. Well, where? He departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus departed into this region because He knew that this woman would be there. In John chapter 4, we read the following words, and He, Jesus, must needs go through Samaria. Why does Jesus must needs go through Samaria? Because there was going to be a woman by the well who is needing the message of the truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the scheduler of divine appointments. Consider Christ's compassion for this woman. Why did Jesus depart? Why did Jesus go into this region? Did He go by accident? Was it happenstance? No. This woman came to Christ by divine appointment. And Jesus not only knows our needs, but He is going before us, preparing the way of blessing. Why? Because of His great love toward us. And if you are here this morning unsure of all the reasons, unsure of why, I don't know why I'm here, know that it is God. God has you here this morning to hear the message of the gospel, to hear the message of Christ's mighty power. Listen, Christ has you in His mind, and He is providentially working in such a way to bring you to Himself. He has surrounded you with Christian influence and gospel preaching because He loves you. Do not leave this morning doubting His love for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life, and that love is extended to you personally and individually. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Believer, examine your own salvation. And isn't this true? With the cords of his love, he drew us. And how did he do so? Well, if we were to take a survey, we would find out that he did so in 1,000 different ways in all of our lives. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home. Maybe there was a faithful evangelist who pleaded with your soul. Maybe it was a parent or a grandparent who prayed day and night that you would come to know the knowledge of the gospel. But all that is man's work. And behind the curtain, it is God working through men to bring you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider Christ's compassion for this woman. Was it just an accident that Christ passed on the shore and saw fishermen fishing and said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men"? Is it just accident that he walked upon the two blind men who were eager to have their sight? Is it just accident that Peter and John went up to the temple to pray and the lame man crying out to them said, "Oh, that I might have a few pennies"? And the power of Christ is displayed and he rises and walks. Nothing happens by accident. Everything happens because of God's wonderful providence. Consider Christ's compassion for this woman. Consider Christ's compassion for you this morning. If you are without Christ, know that he is bringing you to himself. He is drawing you so that you might be saved and that you might be saved today. Believer, parent, consider this woman's strong parental love for her daughter. This mother's heart was full of sorrow for her child. Her motherly love made her daughter's grief her own. I know that there is many among us who are deeply concerned for their children. Children who may not be physically possessed with a demon, but they are obsessed with the devil's world. They are not taken captive by a being from Satan, but they are taken captive by sin and the sinful pleasures of this life. Can I encourage you this morning to continue crying out for your children? Can I encourage you to continually bring the names of your children, the ones who are erring, the ones who do not yet know Christ, bring them continually to the throne of grace. Continue to bring their names to Christ by faith and believing prayer so that he can heal them. This woman's cries were not in vain, and neither are yours. You say, "Yes, but I've been praying for years and nothing has happened. I've seen nothing. No evidence." One author says, "Often the Lord seems silent now when we come to him in earnest prayer. There is no voice, no answer. But we must pray on. He is surely listening, for he heareth prayer. There are reasons unknown to us for his silence, reasons full of thoughtful love and holy wisdom. He will answer in his own good time." Do we believe this? There are many people in Scripture that we could turn to this morning, many people in the Gospels who were concerned for their son or for their daughter. And what did they do? They ran to Christ and they prayed, "Lord, have mercy upon them. Lord, you must save, and you must save alone. The physicians cannot do it. You, the great physician, must do it." And these are an encouragement to parents. Parents, perhaps you have a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter in your life, and you need to continually pray for them. And in the illustration, in the parable, in that story of the prodigal son, I think we put too much emphasis on the son rather than the father. The son left the father's house. The son ended up in the pig pen, enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. But when he turns and goes to return to the Father, there was the Father, full of love, full of grace. And I can imagine this father praying morning, noon, and night for this prodigal to come back home. Waiting, looking every day. Is he coming back now? I'll try again later. Is he coming back now? And then when he's returning, he was continuing on that duty, waiting and watching for the prodigal to come home. Is that us, parents? Or have we given them they're just in the world. That's the way they're going to be. There's no hope. Church, I stand before you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost because of the goodness and grace of God in my life. But I can also tell you, I stand before you as a Christian because of the faithful prayers of my Father. My Father prayed for my soul continually until I became a Christian. I stand before you as living evidence that the power of prayer for souls works. Don't give up. Perhaps it's not a child that you're concerned for, but it's a spouse, a parent, a friend. Continue on crying out, Lord, have mercy. Lord, save. Lord, bring them back. Lord, help. Night and day, continue to pray and do not rest until you receive an answer. Listen, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he who heard this Canaanitish woman and answered her request will also hear us and give us the desires of our heart. But do we believe it? That's where it boils down to. She believed that Christ could, and she did not give up until she received the answer. But if we were confessed this morning, we would be one who, oh, silence of Christ, I'm done. The scorning of others, I'm done. The words of Christ, no way. I don't want anything to do with it. But this testimony is given as an encouragement to us to keep on. To keep on exercising great faith, understanding that what God has promised in His Word, He is able to perform. He is able. It is important to note, lastly, that while Christ commended the faith of this woman, she never once was seeking to be someone great. She never once was seeking the praise of men. There was no personal ambition within her at all. Why do I say that? As I provide you with these marks of great faith, I do so not so that you can be commended by men, but so that you might be accepted before God. These marks of great faith aren't for you to pat yourself on the back and say, look how holy and righteous I am. I am a great man and woman of faith. Follow me. That was not her desire at all. She would see herself as a weak believer in the Lord, one who struggled, one who pressed her way through with great fears and even anxieties and doubts. Yes, even doubts, but doubts were not overcome by her faith. We have much spiritual truth to take home with us this afternoon. And may God help us to be doers of His Word and not hearers only. The marks of great faith. Great faith cries unto God. Great faith perseveres through silence and scorn. And great faith has a humble confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to pray. Continue to exercise faith. And let's trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Let's not lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him, for He shall direct our paths.